Hey there, and welcome to the Consultants Council podcast, a place for consulting industry guidance and best practice advisory. Whether you're working to grow in your consulting career, you're managing and developing a consulting firm, you're working with consultants, or you're just interested in business and high-performance advice, we've got recommendations and education for you. I'm Kelsey Kreveling, founder and CEO of Kelsey Consulting, a firm focused on building high-performing organizations, teams, and leaders through a variety of ventures, including the Consultants Council. I've spent my career at the intersection of technology and management consulting, working with organizations across the country to help solve their toughest challenges, while also supporting the growth and development of multiple consulting firms, helping them improve their long-term performance trajectory. In addition, I'm an entrepreneur across a few different industries, and I serve as a startup investor and advisor, promoting the ideas of other entrepreneurs as they work to gain traction in their industries. With so many people gearing up to launch their own businesses and establish their own consulting practices, I want to make available the advice and lessons others and I have learned along the way. This podcast is made possible by Kelsey Consulting. For more information, check out our site at theconsultantscouncil.com and kelsc.consulting. That's kelsey.consulting. Today's episode is sponsored by Tori, a personal physical asset inventory capital manager. Head to inventory.capital to request your invitation, because your inventory tells a story. And now, stay tuned for this episode's counseling, because the consulting world is full of nuances. And the answer is always, it depends. What's possible? Do more. What's the difference between flexibility and mobility? And how do they have an impact on our life and our jobs and the work that we do and how we show up in the world? Welcome to the Consultants Council podcast. I'm Kelsey Kreveling, and for those of you watching today's episode, you'll realize that it's a slightly different episode. I'm here in workout clothes, I'm outside, and I've got my yoga mat set up, and there's good reason for it. So because flexibility and mobility is such an embodied part of how we live and move and proceed through the world, I wanted to have us go through that. And as a result, we're taking it to the outside. It is the spring equinox today, March 20th, as we're recording. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day, slightly cool, a little bit windy, but it is a delight to get to be outside. And we are working so hard. We're spending so much time in corporate environments with artificial lighting and recycled air and detached from the earth. That really psychologically kind of bogs us down. It becomes unhealthy for us over time. And so when we're putting in those long hours, it is equally important to make sure we're spending time getting outside. And that can just be, you know, even at your hotel, if you're traveling for the week, putting yourself outside for a few minutes, sitting outside in the sunshine, taking a quick walk, making sure you're breathing that fresh air and you're getting to really feel the elements, hear the birds, and enjoy wherever possible. So for today's episode, it makes sense if we're going to be diving into flexibility versus mobility and why they're both important for us to be a bit mobile and to take ourselves into a new environment. Now, you may be thinking, you already know what being flexible is. You already know what being mobile is. But let's dig into it just a little bit, shall we? So I recently had the opportunity to attend yoga teacher training. It was a fabulous experience. I absolutely loved it. And it was something that I wanted to do for a very long time. I began taking yoga when I turned 20, when I was right out of school. And I had just left my first job that didn't work out the way I anticipated it working out. And I was really stressed and struggling and trying to find, you know, what I was going to be doing with my life. And it was at a very bad time in the economics of the United States, major financial crisis, etc. And so finding a new job was very challenging. And I, in those months, started practicing yoga, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And I've carried that practice with me throughout my career. What I love most about yoga is it actually
It's a practice that can go with you anywhere. You can take it into basically any environment. You don't even need to have a mat. As long as you have your breath and your intention, you can bring about the principles of yoga into your everyday life. And so I think that's a really beautiful thing to continue to utilize in the midst of so much chaos and strife and stress in our corporate careers. And so I loved the ability most recently to be able to actually deepen my own practice, my own understanding, learn the roots and the history of the practice, and to be able to now share it with others. So we all, as we're working a lot, can benefit from a lot of the principles that yoga has to offer. And because it's so portable, it can go with us into a hotel room. It can go with us into, you know, the few minutes you might have of calm before a intense meeting starts. And so after today's episode, stick around, because there will be a few postures we can go through that you can take anywhere with you that have really helped me through the years when I am limited on time and even space. All right, so flexibility really refers to the ability of our muscles and ligaments to be able to stretch with ease and to be able to move amongst the range of motion very, very smoothly. It's really the ease with which you're able to go through life. Mobility is the ability of our joints to be able to move with ease within a specific range of motion, and over time, as we're working to increase mobility, to increase that range of motion. It also refers to our strength throughout that entire range of motion and our balance in that range of motion. And so as a result, our mobility, our ability to move through life with ease in our bodies and in life, includes flexibility, our ability to stretch and to grow. And when we think about how that it applies to our bodies, it makes sense, right? So the person who can just easily bend, they can easily lengthen, they can easily pull their, you know, legs into different postures and positions, that person might have a lot of flexibility. But that doesn't mean they always have a lot of mobility. You'll see a lot of hyper flexible yogis who can easily bend in a lot of different directions, but then don't always have strength and structure in that range of motion. And as a result, they might struggle with how they navigate kind of day-to-day living because they're so hyper flexible. They don't then have the structure around their joints and the muscle strength in order to keep their body operating in alignment. And so when we look at that in the world that we live in, it's very easy to apply what we see in our bodies actually in how we operate in the world. So it really came to fruition for me, to clarity for me, when I was in yoga teacher training, because all of my life I've been supposedly a flexible person. All right, so all my life I've supposedly been a pretty flexible person. I was a cheerleader for a long time, and I did ballet for a long time, and now I've practiced yoga for a long time. But what maybe you don't realize when you're in that type of a practice as an outsider looking in is there's a very distinct difference between the people who are naturally flexible and mobile and the people who have to actively work on it. So for example, in ballet, I was not naturally flexible or mobile. Instead, I was really quite stiff and I lacked a lot of limber flexibility in my muscles. But I remember seeing people who had beautiful splits and beautiful ease with which they moved. And so I said, okay, I want that too. What do I have to do to go get it? And for me, it was stretching every single day and working in just in a concerted way to get to where I had an increased range of motion that for other people just came naturally. They didn't have to do anything to get it. And so as a result, to an outsider, if I were to come and do some yoga postures, you would think, oh, wow, okay, she's flexible. She can move with such ease. But in reality, that ease is only because I've developed a larger range of motion with which I can move within ease within. But if you ask me to go beyond that, it doesn't happen. It's only what I've been able to cultivate as my comfort zone with which I can move easily in. However, you'll see the people, and I saw people like this even in yoga teacher training, who they didn't have any limits in their yoga practice. They could move into every single posture without much effort because their muscles and their joints just had such ease to them and had such range of motion and had such flexibility. And as a result, each posture wasn't a challenge for them. What was a challenge for them wasn't that range of motion, wasn't that flexibility. It was the strength that they lacked in those postures to hold themselves in that posture. So how can we then apply those principles to the life that we live? How can we say, all right, I want to cultivate a wider range of motion or a wider comfort zone with the things that I can take on? That means constantly pushing against the current boundaries that are currently easy or comfortable for us to operate in. What does that look like? How do we continue to expand our comfort zone and push with concerted effort to go where we're supposed to go? And I think it's very interesting as we also look at personality types. For example, I am not really a super flexible person in terms of my boundaries. They are firm. I am not a super flexible person in terms of when things don't necessarily go the way that I anticipate them going, right? That is frustrating. Whereas you meet people that are so easygoing. They just take life as it comes. And it's they're just, okay, it is what it is. They accept it, right? Whereas for me, I have to put a lot of effort into that being easygoing. That is a cultivated effort, right? But as a result, on the flip side, people who maybe are very easygoing, they'd have a tougher time asserting boundaries for themselves, not being taken advantage of, being true to themselves because, hey, they're used to letting things kind of roll off their shoulders. And so identifying what are your strengths, what are you good at, and where maybe do you need to work on it, hone it, improve it, continue to better that with which you have an opportunity to improve. For me, it's being able to increase my comfort zone and push towards the outer edges of that mobility, that range of motion, and then to be able to move within that whole range with ease. And for others, it's saying, I already move so easily with ease. I now need to establish maybe some structure and some boundaries and some strength and balance so that I can not only move with ease, but that I can also stay firm in that with which I'm meant to pursue and how I'm meant to show up in the world. So being able to cultivate a wonderful sense of flexibility and mobility that enables us to have strength, balance, stability, both in our bodies and in how we show up in the world, how we take on the work that we do, how we engage with others, is critical. And also, it's important to say, when do I need to be flexible here? And when do I need to be mobile? When do I need to move with ease? And when do I need to move with strength within my comfort zone, within a range of motion? It's an important thought to think through as you take a look at the different things you're encountered with every single day. Someone's kind of being a jerk at work. All right. Do you need to let it roll off your shoulders and be flexible? Or is it, we need to stand firm here on this one. This is not tolerable, and we need to address it and deal with it and manage it in an effective way. Client just changed expectations at the last minute. Is that a challenge? Do we need to address it? Do we need to be flexible in order to accommodate it? Maybe. Or do we need to say, nope, we can't really do that. We have very specific parameters around how we're going to operate, and we need to do it within this. And if that's going to happen, if the client's going to need that, it's going to be a change order. Evaluate the situation and evaluate what it specifically needs, but know that operating with improved flexibility, improved mobility is going to make a foundational difference in how you live in your body and in how you show up in the world. So with that, let's get into a few yoga postures that will help you improve both your flexibility and your mobility, and that you can take on the road with you anywhere you go.
One quick note before beginning any type of physical practice, make sure that you only go to really what feels a slight bit challenging for you. Do not do anything that feels painful or you are concerned with. Be mindful of any injuries that you have and take it moment by moment. Check in with yourself to see and feel if something feels right for you. Let's begin. Starting in Samasthiti or Tadasana in Sanskrit, we have mountain pose. In this posture, you are standing tall, feet together, legs strong, back straight, lifting your head, letting your shoulders relax down your back and your arms to your side, looking forward. This posture is excellent as it really grounds the body, it prepares you for your practice, and it gets you moving. Then we have Ardha Chakrasana. This is half moon pose prep. It is a great shoulder stretch, a side body stretch, and a leg strengthening posture. You're going to grip your hands together with your index fingers pointed, thumbs crossed, and you're going to strengthen your arms towards the sky with your biceps squeezing your ears, lifting up through your midsection. Awesome posture. Then you're going to bend over to the side, whichever side you choose first, but lengthening up through your waist before you fully stretch yourself to the side. I love this posture because not only does it give you a full body stretch, it's going to strengthen your thighs, but it also stimulates your digestion. And when you've been sitting for a long period of time, whether because you are traveling or you are at work, this posture really helps you just stretch things out and add a lot more mobility into your spine, into your shoulders, and just really elongate your whole side body. So this posture is just a really great one to do. But make sure you do that prep posture first, getting your hands in the right position. And you can hold this posture for as long as feels good to you. I really like to kind of hold it for a while. Then once you come out of the sides, you can go towards the back. You're going to again lift up, strengthening through your fingers and start to pull yourself upwards and backwards, letting your eyes follow along the ceiling as you go back, look back, way back, lifting up through your waist so that you're not condensing and collapsing into your spine. This posture is a great metabolism boost and it also prepares you for more deep back bends. You also can incorporate forward folds after a deep back bend. You really want to let the spine have an opportunity to relax after you've done so much work. Forward folds are a great posture, just any point in your practice when you need a slight break, but they also are great because they're a slight inversion. They get your head below your heart, which is going to increase your circulation and bring some stress relief to the body. But this posture also allows the spine to have an opportunity to go into some traction. Then if you inhale up halfway, letting your fingertips just graze the floor or resting on your shins, you're going to allow the spine to lengthen. This posture allows you to build some core strength and some low back strength. I love it as a break in between a forward fold before you move into other postures. Next, you can go raise your arms towards the sky. As you enter, Urdha Hastasana Upward Salute Pose. This is another strong posture that is grounding. Your legs are strong. It's going to stretch your shoulders up to the sky, feeling the energy and power going all the way up to the sky, grounding all the way deep into the ground. This is a great one when you have been working a long time and your arms are at a keyboard and you're tight through your shoulders. This really helps open that up and bring some nice vitality. Now, drop your arms, wrap your right arm under your left, twisting at the elbows, wrapping your hands around together into eagle posture. Once you've got the arm posture, you're now going to take your right leg, lift it up over your left leg, wrapping your foot around the backside of your left calf. Then start to sit into a chair pose. You are pulling your hands farther away from your face, and this posture is so great because it's going to open up the joints, increase the mobility, and improve your balance. Next up, we've got seated toe stretch. I love this posture. Next up, we have seated toe stretch. This is a great one anytime, especially for women when we're in heels a lot. We really get our toes in a bind, if you will. And this posture just really helps open up all of the fascia along the bottoms of our feet. We don't give our feet credit for all the work that they do. And by sitting down with our toes up under us, we really allow ourselves a chance to stretch out. Next up, we have Vitalasana Cow Pose. This is just a great spine warm-up. Come into a tabletop posture and be able to look up while dropping your waist, inhaling through your lungs, and then you're going to want to take a counter pose, which is our cat pose, and you're then going to release your back, let it go high towards the sky, and allowing your whole spine to stretch from the back of your skull down to your tailbone. Moving through cat and cow a few times really helps warm up your spine. It's a great thing to do in the morning when you first get out of bed because it's just going to put mobility into your spine, get your body warmed up for the day. People don't realize how important our spine is towards our total body health. It's what really stimulates the energy going through our whole body. It allows us to really have our life force. Then you also can take some other postures within the cow-cow phase where you can look back over your sides, you can lift your head up and your head down, you can shake your head yes and no. There's a lot you can do from this tabletop posture that just really feels good to you. These are really wonderful poses to incorporate into your practice early in the practice because they get your spine warmed up, they get your body moving, and they just generally feel really quite good. When we spend a lot of time at a computer, we start to have immobility in our spine and in our necks. We start to hunch forward, we get a hump in our back, and that really then limits our ease and our ability to move freely about our day and our ability to then operate with ease in the world and how we engage. And so incorporating cat-cow, our over-the-shoulder look backs, our yes-no heads, just really does a lot of wonders for how we move. I also love incorporating, when you're in a tabletop position, some wrist stretches. So you can do a couple different things here. You can stretch your wrists forward. You can then flex your wrists backwards. You can take your hands left to right. You can flip your hands back facing you, moving forwards and back. This is really just meant to feel good. I actually learned these poses long before I was practicing yoga, back when I was in cheerleading and tumbling. Warming up your wrists was a critical component of preparing to be able to tumble because you're going to be putting pressure on your wrists. For anyone who has wrist pain, carpal tunnel, you spend a lot of time at a computer, these exercises really are non-negotiables so that you have healthy mobility in your wrists. People think that they need to spend less time on their wrists in order to improve wrist pain, and actually the inverse can be true. I found that by practicing handstands, cartwheels, spending time upside down with weighted exercises on my wrists actually have drastically improved. And that's saying something because I've got two screws through one of my wrists from breaking it many years ago. And so it's only been once I've really started adding load-bearing exercises that I have seen an immediate and significant improvement. I also love Balasana. This is child's pose. It's a posture that is really restorative. You can take it by just sitting back on your knees and pressing your hands into the ground while pushing your hips back. This is going to naturally traction your spine. It's going to stretch your hips and your thighs. I actually oftentimes feel it up through my shoulder blades because I get a little tight through there. And then under your arms are going to feel a stretch too. Great posture. We've also got Urdha Mukha Savasana, upward facing dog pose. This is a great one that feels good after coming out of a child's pose. You can push up into it and press through your hands, looking up towards the sky. You can lift your chin and tighten through your glutes. This posture is really great because it's going to give you an energy boost, and it also is a really nice one to counteract prolonged sitting periods. So a good one to incorporate in the morning with your cat-cows, but also if you've been at the computer for a long time. And then you can push back your hips into Urdha Mukha Savasana, downward facing dog pose. So this one's going to give you a nice gentle inversion, pressing through your hands, letting your head just hang loose and working to get your heels down. They don't have to touch the ground, but it's going to give you a nice hamstring stretch too. So both upward facing dog, downward facing dog are great counter poses to being at a computer for a long period of time. We also have Urdha Ashva Sankalasana, runner's lunge pose. This one is a classic one for anyone who ran track or has been in other forms of exercise, but I love this pose. It just is a nice one to warm up your legs. It can build strength depending upon how strongly you're standing in the posture. You're going to have one leg forward, one leg back. We also have Utthita Parsva Konasana, extended side angle pose. This is a favorite of mine. So in this posture, you're really going to be standing with one foot forward, one foot back. Your front foot is going to face straight ahead. Your left foot is going to be at a 90 degree angle to that foot. You're going to reach your arm down towards the foot in front of you, same arm, same leg, and let it reach towards the ground. It can feel your chest expand. And this is a great posture, not only because it strengthens your legs, but also because it incorporates balance and a nice energy boost. All right, Bada Utta Parsva Konasana. So if you want to take a bind from your extended side angle, you can do so. Take the same arm as the leg that's in front, wrap it down underneath that arm, reaching your opposite hand up towards the sky, pointing your thumb down to behind your back and clasping your opposite hand around that front leg. This is going to open your chest. It also has a benefit of strengthening your pelvic floor. And what's really nice is you can then flow in and out of a bound triangle pose, Baddha Trikonasana, which also offers a really nice hip and hamstring stretch as well. So it's a posture I like incorporating because it does offer a nice opening in your legs. It is strengthening, and because your head's slightly lower than your heart, it's going to give you a little bit of an inversion as well, which is a nice added benefit in my opinion. All right, we have Trikonasana, triangle pose. So with this posture, you're going to have one leg forward, facing forward, foot facing forward, your opposite foot at a 90 degree angle or slightly turned in towards a more 45. You're going to have your arms outstretched, and then you're going to rotate towards your front foot, reaching your hand towards the ground with your opposite hand skyward. You can then look up. We have Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. It's a leg strengthening posture that's also going to improve your circulation and respiration. In the same posture as Trikonasana, you're actually going to sink your front knee down and forward, stretching out over that leg into a lunge with your arms in a T, straight out to either side and front and back of you. Feeling the strength through your arms, feeling the strength through your legs. It's a great posture. Next up, you can reverse that warrior and rotate those arms backwards, reaching your back arm down to the leg behind it, lifting your forward arm up overhead. This is really going to give you a nice side torso stretch and also build low body strength. We can go into a plank pose, Kumbhakatasana. This is just the classic plank where your feet are outstretched behind you, hands down in a push-up position underneath your shoulders, holding strong through your biceps and through long through your back and tightening your glutes. I love to take this in into a low plank pose as a yogi push-up. I like incorporating several of these every morning. It's a really good way to get the blood flowing, boost your metabolism a little bit, and just really get you energized. So consider adding a couple of yogi push-ups every day, and quickly you'll see that this is really strengthening for your triceps, your biceps, your shoulders, your core. And also, it's nice to every morning before you go do hard things at work, do some hard things just for your body, right? Then work doesn't feel quite as hard. So it's a really good one to just incorporate and add. Challenge you to do at least 3 to 5. All right, Sarvangasana, shoulder stand pose. This is a wonderful one to boost your energy and improve your mental focus, but it's not one to be taken lightly. So if you have any neck injuries, I instead want you to just sit with your butt against a wall, put your feet up against the wall, and invert your feet skyward. That's going to give you the same benefits without any potential neck injury issues. But if you want to do a shoulder stand, you can go ahead and lay down on your back, lift your legs up high. Next up, we have Halasana, which plow pose, which you can actually go into straight from a shoulder stand. You're just going to be in the same starting posture, but you're now going to gently, slowly relax your legs over your head until your feet are able to touch the ground. Bending your knees is just fine. That certainly happens as we're starting to get comfortable with this posture. The same rules apply. Don't go into this pose if you have any type of neck injuries or issues, but this is a really great one that I love to incorporate. All right. We now have Ustrasana, camel pose. It's a full front body stretch. It's going to improve your spinal flexibility and offer an emotional release. You're going to start on your knees, your feet behind you, and you're going to gently put your hands behind your back on your low back with your elbows pointing towards behind you. You're going to gently look up and start to lift your body up and back into a gentle back bend. You're going to start to really look for the wall behind you. Once you're able to see the wall behind you, you can take this posture into a more deep expression and you can reach back to grab your heels. From here, you can hold your heels and start to pull yourself into an even deeper backward bend. I love this posture. It feels really good, but afterwards, take it a little easy. You're going to want to then let yourself just have a moment to collect yourself because this posture really can open up a lot. All right, and some final poses I love just at the end of the day even is a Supta Mahadrasana, supine twist. You're going to lay down on your back. You're going to lift one leg up into your chest while your opposite leg extends out on the ground in front of you. You're then going to rotate that leg that you've just pulled forward over to the side while you stretch your arms out in opposite directions in a T. You're going to look over to the opposite side from the side that your knee is on, and you're just going to give your lower back a nice gentle twist. This posture is great for spinal mobility. It opens your chest and it also improves your digestion. It's a really nice pose to do before you go to bed because it really calms the body's nervous system and allows you to take in all of the benefits from your practice that you just did. So it's a really nice one as you're calming down and gearing up for the conclusion of your practice, which is Shavasana, final resting pose. This one, let's lay down on the ground. Let's close our eyes. Let's relax our hands and our feet. And let's begin our restoration and relaxation. Wow. This posture is really great for mind-body connection, and it is a wonder to be able to gift ourselves with just a few moments of pause. All right, so that was about 30 postures that I know that feels like a lot of postures, but really they're quite simple, and pick and choose from them what feels best for you each day. They're easy to add into a morning routine, an evening routine, or even just in the middle of the day when you're on a quick break. You can bring space and flow to your day, which is going to make things feel a bit better. So I encourage you to see and play with what postures work well for you, what you like, what you enjoy, and let me know if you'd like more yoga to incorporate into your work life. With that, cheers, all my best. The divine light within me sees, salutes, and honors the divine light within each one of you. Namaste.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Consultants Council. Thank you so much for your interest and engagement. Let us know what you'd like to learn more about by writing in to info@theconsultantscouncil.com. Thanks to Kelsey Consulting for facilitating this podcast, and thanks to Tori for sponsoring this episode. To learn more about how Tori can manage your personal physical assets, head to inventory.capital. And with that, cheers and all my best. Have a great week. And remember, what's possible? Do more.